Will you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we praise and adore you for loving us so much that you sent your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. And as we talk about your word this morning, I pray that the words I speak are acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, believe it or not, this Wednesday is Ash Wednesday and the beginning of Lent. Can you believe that? It seems like we were just celebrating Jesus' birthday, and now we're going to start getting ready for Lent, which leads, of course, to Holy Week and Easter. And as you can see from the title here, the Mountain of Glory, again, we get to this mountain, which we talked about a little bit in the mountain series that I did. And this is a perfect event that leads us into Ash Wednesday and to Lent. And of course, this event is Transfiguration. You heard Tim read the passage before. But I broke this passage down into five parts. And to help me kind of digest this all. And the first two verses that I want to read are from Mark chapter 9, verses 2 and 3. Where it says this, "And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them." All right, so the first part of this event, Jesus was transfigured before their very eyes. And the "there" here is Peter, James, and John, the inner circle of Jesus' disciples. The three of them are the ones that got to experience a lot of different things that the other disciples didn't, and this being one of them. So they are the three that gets to go up this mountain with Jesus. And so they get to the top of the mountain, and Jesus is transfigured. Well, what does that mean? It simply means that Jesus changed right before their eyes, changed from the human man that they have come to know for almost 3 years now, is now in his divine glory, showing his glory. They are being allowed to witness the full manifestation of the crimson thread, which had to be a very cool thing to experience. So Peter, James, and John literally got to experience heaven on earth. And we use that phrase a lot, you know, in our world and society, that this is heaven on earth, or this is heaven on earth, or whatever. But this was literally heaven on earth. And that's what Peter, James, and John got to experience, because this event was really for their benefit. And we'll talk about that a little bit more here in a second. But after this, so they see Jesus transfigured. And by the way, every time I hear this word, I'm always reminded of a childhood toy, Transformers, which is sort of the same thing. You know, the Transformers, more than meets the eye. They are either a car or a truck or a plane or whatever, and then they turn into a robot. As cool as those toys were, this event was intensified. So Jesus is transfigured, and it says in Mark here that his clothes became intensely white. What does that mean? Well, we know what white looks like. It's white, right? This is intensely white. In fact, it's so white that even the strongest bleach, Clorox or Ajax or whatever, can't make it whiter than what Jesus is showing in his full glory. That's pretty white. All right, so now we got Jesus on the top of the mountain, he's transfigured, showing all his glory. Peter, James, and John are there. And now we get to the second part. back to Mark chapter 9. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. So the question always is, when we get to this, is why Elijah and Moses? Why are these the two guys that appear to Jesus? Why wasn't it David and Joshua or whatever? Well, there's a reason why Elijah and Moses are the ones that appear with Jesus. You see, Moses and Elijah both experienced mountain events, by the way, where they got to talk to God. Moses, when he was on Mount Sinai, received the Ten Commandments from God. So Moses is there representing the law, the whole law that God gives his people, which are recorded in the first books of the New or Old Testament. And Elijah is one of the great prophets of the Old Testament. So together, they represent the law and the prophets. So who cares, right? Well, Jesus talks about this a little bit. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, during his Sermon on the Mount, listen to what Jesus says here. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. So now we have Elijah and Moses representing the law and the prophets. Jesus has already said that he has come to fulfill all the law and the prophets. You see, Jesus fulfilled the law on our behalf by keeping the law perfectly. And all the prophets in the Old Testament, all those prophecies about the coming Messiah, about how God was going to save his people, Jesus is going to fulfill all those prophecies. Because you see, at this time, Jesus' ministry on earth is coming to an end. And his scripture tells us his eyes and his face are set like flint towards Jerusalem. Because he knows what he's here to do, to fulfill the law and the prophets, which we now see represented in the people of Elijah and Moses. And isn't it so awesome? I do talk about this a lot, that crimson thread, how everything is tied together by this crimson thread continually in this book. It's not a book of a bunch of stories. It's one narrative, all connected by the crimson thread. Here we have the Old Testament pillars being connected by Jesus, and they're all standing on this mountain together. And so I always have this question, what were they talking about? You know, I have here Elijah and Moses appear in the scene to have a chat with Jesus. What are they talking about? Well, Luke gives us a little clue. Remember, you can take the Gospels as a whole, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark doesn't tell us, but Luke does tell us what they're chatting about. So what was it? Were Elijah and Moses asking Jesus, you know, where are the good places in Jerusalem to get fish? Or what are you and the disciples going to do later tonight? You going to do something fun? No, obviously they were talking about something much more important. And Luke tells us that they're talking about Jesus' departure from earth. And some translations can take it as Jesus' exodus. And when we hear exodus, what do we think of? Moses, the second book of the Bible, where God sent Moses to be the leader to go to Egypt to deliver his people from the bondages of slavery in Egypt, where they exited, and then he promised them they would be going to the promised land. And that, but they're talking about Jesus's exodus, which is going to be taking place in Jerusalem, where Jesus will go, die on the cross, rise again, and then ascend back to heaven 40 days later. This is, wanted to paint a picture here for you. And this is an actual picture taken by John that very day. And you can see Elijah and Moses there, and Jesus obviously is in the center. Peter, James, and John are down on the ground, and the Gospels tell us they were terrified. They were scared. This is an amazing thing that they're witnessing, that God is allowing them to witness. You see, Jesus is intensely bright in all of his glory. Elijah and Moses are not. This is the one in the middle. And this is what Peter, James, and John are seeing. So now we have this picture in your minds. And now I want you to imagine for a second. So imagine you're Peter, James, or John. You're down at the bottom of the mountain. It says at the beginning of this passage, it was after 6 days when they went up on the mountain. So Jesus is doing ministry stuff. And you're with him, and he, you know, says, hey, Peter, James, John, come with me. We're going to go up this mountain. And they're like, okay. So they trek up this mountain. They get to the top of the mountain, see Jesus transfigure right before their eyes like this. An amazing sight, an amazing experience, just if that were all that was happened, that had happened. But now, Elijah and Moses appear out of nowhere and start talking to Jesus. Now, we're not sure how Peter, James, and John knew it was Elijah and Moses. The Holy Spirit probably let them in on it because they didn't have cameras back then. They didn't have pictures. But this is Elijah and Moses, two pillars of the scriptures that Peter, James, and John would have known all about, learning about in Jewish Saturday school. They would have learned all about Elijah and Moses, and now, right before their eyes, they see them. So I can't emphasize this enough. This is Jesus in his full glory, and now Elijah and Moses are standing there. And this very moment is the moment Peter decides to speak. Can you imagine the boldness of Peter? This amazing event that they're witnessing, this is the time he decides he's going to say something. And let's look at what he says. And Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. For he did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Peter makes this event about himself. It even says here in Mark, he did not know what to say. Well, maybe he shouldn't have said anything. This really got me to thinking about myself. I'm talking about me as Scott Hedke. How often have I missed the glory of Jesus because I was making it about myself? I was thinking about my will, what I wanted to do, earthly things. How often have I missed God working because I wasn't paying attention? And that's exactly what Peter did here. He didn't know what to say, so he said something. And I'm sure we all know somebody who speaks before they think. Peter was really good at that. But that moment, right after Peter says this thing, we go back to Scripture to find out what happens. And a cloud overshadowed them. And a voice came out of the cloud. This cloud is not no accident. This isn't just some random thing that Mark has put into the Gospel of Mark. The cloud in the Bible, remember the Bible is one narrative, all connected together. We continually see this, and we see this again with the cloud. The cloud shows up in the Old Testament all the time. You see, when Moses went up on Mount Sinai, the cloud overshadowed Mount Sinai, and that's when God spoke to Moses and gave him the Ten Commandments. Later on, when God had instructed them how to make the tabernacle, and whenever the cloud would appear in the Holy of Holies, this signified God is present. God is here with us. So the exact same thing happens here during this event. The cloud, which is the Father himself, makes an appearance. And what does he say? He says this in the second half of verse 7. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. So this is awesome that the Father has come onto the scene now. Remember, Peter, James, and John are the only ones that are witnessing this. Jesus, Elijah, and Moses, the Father has come in and is verifying this one is my Son. This is the one that is going to fulfill all of Scripture. This is the one that's going to fulfill the law and all the prophecies that you've heard about. Not Elijah or Moses, but this one. This is my Son, is what the Father says. You know, you can almost picture the Father comes onto the scene after Peter opens his mouth, and it'd be like, shut up, Peter. Listen. Enjoy this experience. You have been allowed to witness an amazing event, a glorious moment. Listen to him. You know, in the book of Mark and the other Gospels, it records three different times where Jesus is telling his disciples what's going to happen when they get to Jerusalem. He tells them that he's going to be betrayed. He's going to be arrested. He's going to be beaten, flogged. He's going to die on the cross. He's done this three times before this transfiguration event. The first time Jesus tells what's going to happen to him, Peter responds, we got Peter again, responding, no, no, Jesus, this will never happen to you. And that's when Jesus tells Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're not thinking about things, the right things. You're thinking about earthly things. The second time that Jesus tells what's going to exactly happen to him, to his disciples, this is the time after they realize, well, they didn't really know what to say to Jesus after that. Instead, they discuss amongst themselves, who is the greatest of us, of the 12? Right after Jesus tells them what's going to happen to him, they decide, we're going to talk about who's greatest. It's almost comical. And then the third time, Jesus does it again, says the same things. This is what's going to happen to me when we get to Jerusalem. This time, it's followed up with James and John asking Jesus, can we be on your right and left when you get into your kingdom? You know, how often do we want to make things about ourselves, and we have our mind on things of this world, and we pull a Peter, and we miss the glorious moment that's right in front of us. So now we have the whole scene. Listen to him. It keeps hitting me upside the head. Listen to him. Jesus has been telling them what's going to happen. And now the Father is telling him that this is the one that's going to fulfill everything. You might want to listen to him. And the same goes for us. You know, because of what happened in Jerusalem when Jesus does get there, Jesus does get betrayed. He is arrested. he does get beaten. He gets spit on. He has a crown of thorns pushed on his head. He gets flogged. And then they nail him to the cross. Because of all of that, that Jesus went through, because he loves us that much. He spread his arms wide on that cross because he loves each and every one of us that much. Because Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets, because he did all of that, we get to experience what Peter, James, and John got to experience on that mountain. They got to experience what heaven was going to be like. And that's exactly what we will get to experience. We will get to see Jesus in his full glory. He will be standing there with arms open wide to greet us when we get into heaven. And we won't only get a glimpse like Peter, James, and John. We will be with him forever. We will be along with Peter, James, and John, and Elijah, and Moses, and Jesus. And we will be with them forever. You know, Jesus tells the disciples not to tell anybody what they had just witnessed when this all went down. And so you can only imagine the other disciples, if they would have heard this story from Peter, James, and John, they'd be like, yeah, right, you're drunk. But they didn't completely understand all this until after the resurrection and the ascension, and then at Pentecost when they received the Holy Spirit, it all came together. And can you imagine how excited Peter, James, and John must have been to be able to tell people about this event? I can't imagine how excited they were to tell people what happened on this mountain. And Peter actually, in his second letter, 2 Peter chapter 1, talks about this very event. He says this, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased,' we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain." And like I said, we are all going to be with him on the holy mountain when we leave this earth, and we will be with him forever. And it is in Jesus' name. Amen.